Okay, go.
Okay. Number one, the figure I gave them was $5,000 per man.
Right.
And the reason I gave them was that we could not go any higher. We could face going to jail if we did. We had done research and had experience in this. And that because of money figures, we cannot give money to the enemy in any large sums.
Right.
And this is really pushing it at $5,000 a man. Number two, to find out how valid they are, we want to try five men in the shortest time possible, that time being 10 days. And we will pay $25,000 for five men at the time that they are released to American officials or to our custody, one or the other, but to a neutral country, something that we are assured that they are free.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't haggle about the small thing like that. Three, when they come out and it's confirmed, we'll pay them the $25,000, and at that time we'll put $300,000 in escrow. And this escrow money will be for a period of 30 days to get an additional 60 men out at $5,000 a head.
Right.
Now, fourth, as far as the prisoners are concerned, Ross felt that we shouldn't tie ourselves down to MIA or anything or complicated. He says, let them have the basic option. He says, what our preference would be the people who have been in there the longest and the sick and wounded.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I told him, that our preference is to have the people who have been in there the longest and the sick and wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the sixth point was that Pearl's name should not be in the deal anywhere.
Right.
At all.
Right.
So they immediately coughed $5,000, and they coughed, they squealed, but they came around. They, Carr came around, but the lawyer was a little more hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he felt that these guys are traitors and they're not going to back down. And I just literally told him, I said that, well, you know, we could go to jail if, you know, basically pulling that old,
yep.
old line. Secondly, on the 10 days, Carr coughed at that. He says he didn't think he could be able to do it in 10 days. He says, Madam Ben is out of Paris right now, and it's going to be difficult. I said, well, this is our position. He says, well, he would try
to... In other words, he's working VC.
That's VC and North Vietnamese, both.
Yeah, because if he's interested in Madam Ben,
that's
VC.
Right, right. But he said, and like you said, they met with Pathalau representation in Paris, which really blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing, was that we would not put it in letter form.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they coughed at this, and I told them that Ross did not want his name on a letter, which, in all due respect, could possibly get in the wrong hands and be waved all around the country, in Europe especially.
Right.
And secondly, we felt the North Vietnamese might not deal with Pearl's signature.
Mm-hmm.
So after hesitation and not much they could argue in that fact, we told them that we would come up with a banker in Paris,
mm-hmm.
or a name of a bank in Paris, through
right.
our bank in Dallas.
Right.
And that to verify the agreement, Carr and his party could call this banker for verbal verification,
right.
which after some discussion seemed to be acceptable. So that's basically where we left it. I left it with the point that I would get back to them as to the banker's name within the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to Paris himself, Carr, on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
why does he now not want somebody to go with him?
He wants somebody to go with him, but Ross feels somebody shouldn't go with him. And so my explanation to Carr was that we didn't want to put somebody over there for 10 days and waste time. And so he accepted this. He says, well, could somebody come over for a small period? And I said, well, possibly at the end of the week. But in talking to Ross, he says, let them call first, and then if we feel that they need somebody over there, you'd be on the plane and go over.
Yeah.
So this is what I'll explain to Carr when I call him back on the lawyer, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like a real fishy deal. They're just too doggone eager. You know, Carr just, you know, tickled to death $5,000 after the explanation. And
yeah.
I just don't know how well he can do, but I've never seen a guy more positive he could do things. Of course, he's a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
But the lawyer is a pretty sharp guy. And I think the lawyer and the way he talks is a little bit dubious about Carr's ability.
All right, as it now stands then, it's a sit tight until you give them the name of the banker sometime before week's end.
That's correct.
And the next move is ours to get them the name of a banker.
That's correct. And then after
they have bought everything as we outlined it to them.
That's correct. As I read it across,
right.
Six points.
Okay.
$5,000, five men,
But we'll come up with $300,000 at a later time.
Right, and that'll go in escrow. And then that will be literally, you know, we'll have to work out a deal on that. And then I also brought up the point, but I didn't want to complicate the issue. I said, look, we're concerned only with one thing, and that's get prisoners out. Now, you can
right.
squeeze everything you want into this deal, but if you get five men out, we're going to be more than eager to get that other 60 men out. If you get those 60 men out, you know, you're our pipeline, and we're going to be more than eager to get, you know, all of them out.
Right.
And so he bought this, and there wasn't too much argument at all.
Yeah.
His big concern is trying to sell his peers over there.
Yeah. Very good. By the way, now, I went over before we left back to the other thing on making the calls to the networks.
Mm-hmm.
They are calling on the Cavett Show and Carson and people like that, too.
They will, yeah. It's just a matter of time right now. They're right over with Johnny Bauer right now.
Yeah.
And I've had them hit the executives and the news executives and the directors of the various shows, like 60 Minutes and 90 Minutes, trying
mm-hmm.
to zero on those people first.
Yeah.
Because some of these guys have already been on Johnny Carson, stuff like this.
Well, I don't mean be on the show, but go over and call on him.
Yeah.
Colonel, do you have any idea, or can you tell me what penetration you have into North Vietnam at the present time with your signal?
We have not initiated North Vietnamese program.
When do you
so far, we have Radio Free Asia primarily dealt with mainland of China and North Korea. However, North Vietnamese program has been in planning from the Radio Free Asia inception in 1966. And we do have shortwave penetrating capacity radio transmitters from Seoul ready to go.
Is ready to go. It could be used.
Yes. In addition to that, we're contacting South Vietnamese government. We have appointment met up with the South Vietnamese ambassador this Thursday morning to discuss on this matter fully.
Yes.
He's been out of town. He just returned. He gave this the top priority on this. So we are going to see him Thursday morning. And the plan is we would like to use as many transmitters as possible. In other words, including shortwave as well as medium wave from the short range in South Vietnam.
All right. Are you saying that, Colonel Park, that at the present time you do have the capability of penetrating North Vietnam, but it is not in use at the present time?
No, exactly right. And it is in shortwave.
It's shortwave?
Yes.
Do you have any idea how many shortwave receivers there are in North Vietnam?
It is very difficult to pin down how many shortwave receivers in North Vietnam. You know, we have a general figure of radio set in use in North Vietnam, 130,000, but even this figure is very conservative and about a 10-year-old figure, because no up-to-date figure is obtainable through the channel of U.S. government. We want to use some kind of figure that U.S. government provide, and their research has not been that up-to-date. This is the trouble. However, all the intelligence indications are that we may have three times more radio set in that area, and at least the one-third of those are in shortwave.
Mm-hmm. Colonel, do you say, for example, if we wanted to begin broadcasting messages next week?
Yes.
In Vietnamese?
Yes.
To families of North Vietnamese soldiers who are prisoners of war in South Vietnam?
Yes.
You do have the capability of doing this?
Exactly. And that is the intention of it. And we start and we can expand it. You know what I mean.
Right. What would it take to set this into motion?
What does it take to set this in motion?
Yes.
First of all, we have to have a very careful planning from every angle. This is why we want to have a support of South Vietnamese government first.
Mm-hmm.
And many Hills are congressmen and a senator who are already supporting Radio Free Asia. But I want to discuss with them specifically on this subject. because we want to get these reputable opinions and formulate the plan, sound plan, because, you know, we know that communist strategy and the communist people and their state government very well.
Yes.
I do not want to...
Hold on just one second, Colonel, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Martin?
Yes.
You do want your automobile delivered here or at the...
Here.
Home?
Here.
Okay, can they get in the parking lot for you?
Yes, what? They can.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Colonel, go
ahead. We do not want to, even a slightest degree, to jeopardize the position of the families because of our broadcast. You know, this is the least of our intention.
Right.
We want to use some of the prisoners of war, you know, North Vietnamese prisoners, POW names in South.
Mm-hmm.
If these are available, but we don't want to use it, you know, blanket, whole thing, because some of them do not want them to know they are in capture. But there are many thousand people who are willing to give their name to be broadcasted. And these kind of things can come from the cooperation of the South Vietnamese government.
All right. What if someone came to you, Colonel Park? What if we came to you and said that we have letters written by North Vietnamese prisoners of war to their families in the North?
Yes.
In other words, this is an indication that, yes, they do want to contact their families.
Yes.
Would you then, in turn, utilize this mail, since the North Vietnamese have refused to accept it?
Yes.
Would you utilize this mail and read it on the air to their families?
This is absolutely the top quality program on this subject. These kind of material are essential and valuable.
You would use them then?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And also, we are formulating many other ways. If possible, we want to have some interviews of the prisoners of war, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we would like to give the Red Cross, covenant on the prisoners of war, and their monthly report, how they inspect the South Vietnam for their prisoners of war and the well-being of their,
these
things. You know, humanitarian point of view, we want to stress how we are treating them.
Yes.
And sort of giving Hanoi, their government, and people alike a psychological pressure. This is a primary purpose. And also arose the world opinion further. You have done a beautiful job here. This is why Ambassador has a tremendous respect and admiration for Mr. Perot.
Now, what hurdles must we clear in order to initiate what we've just discussed here? Could we do this, say, could we remove the red tape if we could get the South Vietnamese government to say within the immediate future, within the next 72 hours?
Nothing in our way, Dan.
There's
nothing in our way.
In other words, you would merely want the approval of the South Vietnamese government to do this?
Yes, yes. Their cooperation as well.
And what cooperation is needed from them?
Well, something like providing particular list of prisoners of war.
Well, what if we already have the letters from these prisoners of war?
That is then all just more than wonderful, really. It's several steps ahead of us then, in that case.
Where would this broadcast originate from? Seoul?
From Seoul, Korea. We've been doing this from Seoul, Korea, to Red China and North Korea already last 3 years. So we have know-how and staffs, and all we have to do, add a Vietnamese staff to that organization, our organization, and further exploit the same tape. Can be repeated. This is the most important in the broadcasting. We learn this through experience, because it's they're listening secretly sometime at night and early dawn. So we have to repeat the same tape again and again, and we can even repeat the same tape from the different locations.
Mm-hmm.
Different transmitters, so the more chance that message goes through.
Tell me this, Colonel Park, is it possible?
Yes.
Are you familiar with the precise megacycle or kilocycle location of Radio Hanoi? And if you are, is your equipment powerful enough that you could jam the Radio Hanoi signal with your own signal?
That is, I have to discuss with the engineers and the technical staff. I will certainly make immediate research on that.
Fine. Now, Colonel, would it be possible for you to come to Dallas to further discuss this?
Yes, absolutely. Right after we have a meeting with the South Vietnamese ambassador.
Now, when do you expect this meeting?
This Thursday.
Thursday.
This Thursday. Thursday morning.
Thursday morning. Perhaps then we could either think about a meeting here on Thursday evening or Friday morning.
Oh, yes, yes.
And discuss it at that point.
Yes, yes. I will be most happy to.
Colonel Park, what is your telephone number, sir?
296-6982.
And that's Area 202.
Yes, this is Radio Free Asia's office.
Yes. And you spell your name P-A-K?
Yes, P-A-K. First name is a B-O-H-I.
B-O-H-I. How do
yes.
you pronounce that, sir?
Bohi.
Bohi.
Bohi Park.
Colonel Bohi Park.
Yes. Also, one other point I want to make it to you.
Yes.
That is, we want to do this as strictly humanitarian, private, freedom citizens endeavor. No connection, actual formal connection with any government.
That's wonderful.
Either U.S. or Korean or South Vietnamese. We may get their moral support and their help, but no tie established. We want to be not to be misunderstood as a political endeavor.
I think that is genuine,
humanitarian.
That is very admirable, and we subscribe to that wholeheartedly. We only wish more people in the world would do likewise.
I know we have good people supporting this project all the way through the last 3 years, but this is sort of an exciting new area of venture.
Yes.
And we felt, and Ambassador felt the same way, your experience that you have done already so much in this end would help the Radio Free Asia immeasurably also in your know-how, particularly in the prisoner of war issue. So this is very vital to meeting with you to learn from you more about this.
Wonderful. We look forward to
that. Particular letter you said you may have is such a precious thing.
That's right.
And for us to use.
Yes.
Yes.
Colonel Park, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. I will be in touch with you prior to Thursday.
Yes.
And if there is any change in your schedule and your meeting with the South Vietnamese ambassador, would you contact us?
I will certainly do so.
And we look forward to meeting with you and discussing this further and hopefully setting it in motion at the earliest possible
yes.
date.
Yes. I'm sure definitely Friday. We can set up someday on Friday.
Very good,
meeting.
Sir.
Yes.
Very good, sir. We look forward to seeing you.
Yes, we'll be keep in touch with you, Dan.
Very good,
thank
Colonel.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Thank you.
Thank
Goodbye.
You very much.
Surely. Goodbye. interested in, and perhaps you can jog my memory and we can be in touch with you.
Yes, I'll say that if you are interested in doing an interview or something with me concerning the hijackers in Cuba, what they went through and things like this and that, you know, and what the situation was down there while I was down there, then I'd like to know how to go about this and this and that.
Right. I'm trying to think at the moment what would be the best way. You should be talking with someone in the news business, or I should put them in touch with you, or you with them, one or the other.
Well, you can put them in touch with me.
All right. How do we reach you, Robert?
Well, the address is... wait a second.
Okay.
Karen Boyer Gotten.
You'll have to spell that for me.
K-A-R-I-N.
Yes.
B-O-Y-E T-A-T-A-N
T-A-T-A-N
No, G-A-T-A-N
Oh, G-A-T-A-N.
Yes.
Now, the first letter of that second word, is it a B as in boy or D as in dog?
A B.
B. In other words, you're saying K-A-R-I-N.
Yes.
B-O-Y-E-G-A-T-A-N.
Yes.
All right.
Number 8.
Yes.
And it's 7. It's Carol Erickson.
E-R-I-C-K-S.
E-R-I-K-S-S-O-N.
Yes.
And it's...
Now, Uppsala is a city, right?
Yes,
it's... In other words, I don't have to still put Stockholm beneath
it? No, it's a city.
Okay. Very good. How have you been?
Fine, thank you.
Very good. Are you enjoying your stay there?
Yes, I am.
Are you missing America yet?
Well, I can't go into that.
I see. Robert, do you have any ideas about how we might talk with someone or work with someone regarding prisoners of war?
Well, they have an organization here. You know, the NFL, I'm sure you know about that.
The NFL?
You know, National Liberation Front.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other organizations in Stockholm, or all over Sweden, where you could talk with them.
Do you have any contacts with them?
Well,
I see. Well, I'm not trying to get you to say. What I am saying is I don't know. We don't have a trip planned in the near future, but when I next get there, would it be worth my while to talk with you about this? I'll put it that way.
Well, I'm still not saying anything.
I beg your pardon?
I'm still not going to say anything.
I see. Are you reachable by phone?
Yes, I am.
What is your number?
The area number is 018.
018.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Is there anything I can do for you in this country?
No. No, thank you.
Very good. Robert, do you mind if I contact a newsman that I work with for a long time here in Dallas and put him in touch with you?
No, certainly. Go ahead.
Very good. It will probably be, as a matter of fact, you met him then because he was with me that night. He is a cameraman. Bert Shipp. Remember Bert Shipp who was with us that night?
Yes, I remember him.
It will probably be him.
All right, well, when would this be?
Well, I will try to reach him as soon as I have finished speaking with you. And you may hear from him immediately today, that is, if he chooses to telephone. If not, a letter, what does a letter take, a week or whatever it is? And you will hear from him.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you so much for calling. It's nice to talk with you again.
Yes, same here. Thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Trip.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to work them into a deal where they would give me a permanent producer status, producer reporter.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the outcome of this.
I see.
But
I see.
We've got the okay from Hanoi, and I'm going in. The State Department cleared it.
Now, when do you think you'll leave, and how long did they allow you to stay, or did they put a limit on you?
They said it, well, approximately a month. We put a limit on ourselves because of the fact that Milton Henry would have to return to the United States, and I'm like tagging onto his coattail.
Mm-hmm.
They invited him, as I said, and he in turn invited me.
Right.
And it would be a month, starting at the end of July, probably around the 20th,
mm-hmm.
going to August 20th.
Right.
As long as necessary. CBS wants me to return by way of Algiers and seek out Rap Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is getting in Vietnam. I would want to meet with you to find out what you want me to ask.
Right.
And what I can do.
Right. Now, let me do two things. Number one, I have a man in New York today.
Mm-hmm.
What's your schedule like today?
I have one appointment at 3 o'clock. And that's it.
Okay, let me contact my man. Now, will you be reachable at this number?
Yes, this is my home number.
Good. And I can sit down and talk, chat with you, he can just, you know, lay everything out and you can discuss on what you think you'll be able to do. What, of course, you probably don't know that until you get there, you know.
Well, they had asked me certain questions that, you know, they want submitted in advance. However, the material that I would be getting from you, I would ask when I get there, because
right.
If I present it in advance, there's a chance they'll say no all the way.
Right, right. You're very wise there.
You know, so,
has there been any indication, have you requested or have you even discussed, and if so, what was their reaction to the possibility of visiting a POW camp?
Yes, we did. We'll know about that when we come to France. It's been sort of warmly received.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the length of time has been taken to clean up the camps.
Right.
We got a hell of a roar out of the black community 2 weeks ago when we did the story on the camp that you set up in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we built it up around the fact that the prisons were eating rats raw.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the response to WLIB was tremendous, which is the black station in Harlem.
Right, right.
I had to cut loose that band bit. The guy was dishonest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, he was stealing from ABC and CBS, and I couldn't afford to go to jail on
that's
his
terms. That's too bad. That's too
but,
bad.
But I am working with LIB.
Good.
And we've been playing up everything we possibly can.
Very good.
The response from the black community was surprising. It seems as if they found somebody they can be sorry for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they picked up the gauntlet on that, so if we can keep it rolling, fine.
Right. Now, when are you going to Paris? Do you know yet, Chuck?
I should go approximately Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to go on the 15th, which was past Monday.
Right.
CBS was dragging its feet, and I asked Milton Henry to put off until one day next week till we get everything finalized transportation-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
mm-hmm.
all right. The reason why I would be going to Paris is the fact that CBS wouldn't want Milton Henry to negotiate any visas for them.
Right, right.
And, because they don't want to be identified with him and his military.
Right. Now, are you going to Choisy-le-Roi, to the peace group, or are you going to My Van Bose group?
No, I'm going to the My Van Bose group.
Yeah.
Direct to the Vietnamese.
Right.
The reason for that is that, you know, the peace group is just intermediary. They've done what they could over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been set up now to go directly to them.
Right.
And my understanding is be no sweat, no problems.
That's good.
They're receptive to it because we're bringing a black crew in.
Right.
So.
Well, that's tremendous. I'm very, very happy. I only wish I could go with you.
We could tell him you're albino, okay?
Yeah, right. Chuck, someone will be calling you probably within the hour.
Fine.
And I will get back to you, and I probably will try, if at all possible, if we feel that my coming up there, and it might well be out
there.
Or you can come down here, either one.
No, I know your schedule is pretty tight, and mine is very flexible. Now.
Right.
It's just getting my shots and getting my jungle boots and band
right.
seats together.
Very good. I'll be talking to you shortly.
All righty.
Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
We'll see you.
And I'll see you later.
Yeah, bye. Bye.
Mr. Martin or Mr. Rosso?
This is Mr. Martin.
Mr. Martin, you have 2 more minutes of holding time. Then after that, I'm sorry, you're going to have
to... Well, I'm ready now. Is Mr. Rosso there?
No, Mr. Rosso is here, so I'm trying to say you're going to have to hang up and dial again, sir.
Well, I believe he's calling us.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I'm sorry. They didn't tell me which story.
Victor Rizzo's office?
Yes. Is Mr. Rizzo ready? Because Mr. Martin is on the line.
Yes.
Hello.
There he is.
Yeah.
Hello, Victor.
Yeah, Murphy.
How are you, sir?
Okay, listen. I just read that guest column by Russ Perot. I don't mean to be blunt, but I can't run that.
I haven't even seen it, Victor. What's the pitch
of
it?
Well, it's pretty nice piece of rhetoric, but you know we don't run guest columns on that basis. I try to tell them that, it's fluff. We have a dream and we have this and so on. Well, you know, we don't want stuff on dreams from Russ Perot. What we want from Russ Perot is what he's doing in his field. We want stuff on, you know, why did I put this thing together? What have we done? What I saw, you know, the prisoners of war thing. Why I...
Did you go over this with him when you met with him?
You mean when I told him?
Yes.
Well, I said we'd like a guest column on, you know, on what you're doing and so on. Instead of which I get a, you know, it's a piece of rhetoric. It's well put together. But hell, I can't, we can't run rhetoric.
Well, I'm...
Get on the phone. Have you got a minute? Hold on.
Yeah,
hold on.
Okay.
Hello, here's Claire, for example. Claire, read the lead on this, will you?
Historically, we have had a great sense of destiny for our country and its people. We have been a nation of practical dreamers. Our founders developed a concept of government where men could dream great dreams, and through their efforts and initiative, make those dreams materialize. In establishing our country, our ancestors developed an instrument that embodied the dreams of...
All right, now go to the last two paragraphs.
On take 6?
Yeah.
Parental control, family rules, and most important, family honor are the most effective law enforcement agencies that can possibly be created, far more effective than the police, state highway patrol, or National Guard. Go one step beyond your immediate family and get involved in the activities that affect your family directly, that contribute to the development of your children and the formation of their beliefs. Know exactly what is going on in your community and the activities that affect your children. The plan proposed is simple. Its strength lies in its fundamental nature. It is a workable solution. It is something that every American can do.
Yeah, now you go to the middle of it. Now, where's the plan? You were reading me up to page what, Cliff?
I was on beginning of page 3, I think.
That sounds great to me, Victor.
Well...
That's the first time I've heard it, but that sounds great to me.
Well, what sounds great?
What she just read. I mean, what's wrong with that? Maybe I'm missing. I don't know what you're trying to get in the column from him. It was my understanding.
I want to get a column from Russ Perot on what it is. Well, where is the specific plan he talks of? I mean, the first 3 takes are, you know, on national, on the dream, the aspiration, the so on. Well, what I want from Russ Perot, and I would have taken it for granted, is, you know, we have been in this fight, you know, for the prisoners of freedom of the prisoners of war. We think, you know, whatever the ideological thing, I mean, that's, we've seen this in these camps and that and that. This is, you know, the kind of the nature of the enemy or this, whatever it is, but where is that plan?
On the top of 5, I would like to suggest something very specific for every American.
Take 5. On a great deal of fraud, and then he says, on take 5, I'd like to suggest this. Now, this is the top of the 5th take. Go ahead.
Starting today, we can commence building the most efficient form of government the world has ever known, the strong family unit. I'm convinced that our nation's future is directly dependent on our ability to strengthen the family unit, with each family resolving to be an example for the rest of the nation.
All right. But, you know, in other words, what he says is there ought to be a stronger family tie. Now, if he says, that the lack of family unity is there, and we ought to put $17 billion in, or we ought to do this or that, but there are seven pages. How many takes, Richard? There are five takes. Now, what he does on the building, he goes up to the building of the family unit with a great deal of fraud.
Hello.
With a great deal of fraud. I mean, you know, I don't think it's great. As a matter of fact, I don't think our editors have run it.
Well, it seems to me, though, that what he has done here, you've asked him to do a column, and I'm thinking, I didn't discuss this with him. He doesn't need to discuss this, you know, with me or anybody else. He probably took you at your word and says, you know, do a column unless you spelled out what you wanted in a column. I mean, the subject matter and so forth.
I know, Leslie, but what I'm doing is, she'll read the thing to you if you want to.
No. I don't need to hear.
But I can't run a column that goes up on the great unless he says the heart of crime is the breaking up of the family unit, and then he goes on and backs it up. But the girls have read it here. I've read it at home. I've read it one of my editors. And you know, I mean, from Ross Perot, you would expect a piece on, you know, what it is, the professional citizen, or, and then you always say, well, all right, so you do it on what you want, but you can't do it on, I won't keep you long. Claire, let's get the top of, let's say, take four. The writing is clear and literate, but it's got to meet a standard,
Our system only works well when we assume the responsibility of ownership. When we abdicate this responsibility, our system becomes vulnerable to the tyranny of small, well-organized groups who brilliantly display their position for the nation and the world to see. The apathetic America creates a void that allows small groups to magnify their position far beyond their numbers. In our absence, these groups look like a majority. To the world, they look like the United States. Starting now, every American must again become a proud part owner of this country. He must become deeply involved in the affairs of his family, neighborhood, community, state, nation, and the world.
You know, between you and me, I mean, this is the 9th million guy who says, you know, you got to become involved.
But how much of it has appeared in print? How much accent has been put on it?
Tens of thousands of times, every speech you hear. Well, I'm not going to argue the point. I'll send it out, but... Hello?
Yes.
I'll send it out, but between you and me, it isn't going to do Russ Perot any good, and I don't know how many editors would run it.
Well, I can't see why they would...
I couldn't care less one way or another. To me, it's only Mimeo, and I'll get it done, but... if we're going to debate this, then
I'm not trying to debate. It's just a matter of from what little I've heard there, it sounds like something that we all ought to hear again and perhaps take stock in it, particularly with an audience like Victor Reisel commands. Now, on the other hand,
Murphy, the answer is perfectly simple. Up until now, I mean, you know, I'm horsing this around, but let me tell you, to me, between you and me, if you're not going to quote me, it's a piece of crap. I mean, what are we talking about?
Well...
You mean to tell me that in something that's got Prime Minister Heath, the new Prime Minister, you mean to tell me in something that's got Ted Kennedy and the Vice President of the United States and the others, I'm going to run this thing about becoming involved? If the guy says, become involved, I mean, you know, I mean, if the SBS goes out, there are so many millions, I mean, you got this, you got that, okay, but, you know, it makes him look silly. It makes him look amateurish. Between you and me, the reason I'm calling you is that I'll send it out. Hell, what difference does it make?
Well, I think that had he known that you wanted something engaged into a particular area, that's the way he would have gone. Or he would have said, you know, I can't do it, or whatever his feelings are, because he, like you, he's a very straight-shooting guy. And he will say what's on his mind, whether he could or couldn't, and it will give you his best shot. And I think that's what you're saying.
Talk in modern you know, this is 1970, and you're talking about everybody owning a piece of America. I mean, you know, you've got to become involved. You know, it'll hit...
Well, don't we have to become involved, Victor? Of course, I don't want to get into a debate either, but it seems to me this is saying actually what Victor Rizel has been saying.
Yeah, well, if you say we have to become involved, and if you're going to complain about your political leadership, why don't you analyze what the last time was you were down at your club? What do you know? Then, you know, have you done this? Do you know that there are so many... I mean, my point is that, you know, what you've got here is a prayer for motherhood.
Which is not a bad prayer, Victor.
Murphy, I'm running a column. I have 15 slots. One of them is the Prime Minister of England. Another is the Vice President of the United States. Another is Ted Kennedy. Another,
right,
and so on, are members of the cabinet.
Right.
Now, I'm telling you that I've just read this. I've got, as you have, a great many things to do. I thought I'd lift the phone and tell you, as far as I'm concerned, it's a kind of a once-over-lightly sermon for motherhood and against sin. And sure we're for the family unit, and sure we're for becoming involved, and sure we're for a lot of things. But that's not what you write columns on.
Mm-hmm.
And what people want out of Russ Perot is, you know, like, what, I mean, you set up the replica of a cell.
Mm-hmm.
You did this. You know, what? All right, if you don't want to go on prisoners of war, then go on something that's hard and specific. But if you're going to give me 600 or 700, 800 or 900 words on the need for the family and the need for the... If he says it's the breakdown of the family and so on, and this is what's happened... If he's got a Pat Moynihan, it said that not only in the black but the white community. Yeah, I'll take him a minute. Okay, but listen, if you think this is what he wants, I'll get it out.
Let me talk to him. He will be back in town tonight. And I'll talk to him, and I'll get back to you tomorrow.
Well, all
okay.
Right. It's 3:30. Now, look, my message is that, that stuff I read to you,
mm-hmm,
is pleasant, but to be perfectly diplomatic, hardly the kind of thing I, if I were writing it, would do.
Mm-hmm.
That I would say that in a society where there are 7 million students and campuses, and that there are 4,000 campuses,
mm-hmm,
that at best, according to my knowledge, and I try to put this on some kind of computer basis and everybody knows them, you've got 200,000 or 100,000 or 0.7%. Where you have this kind of thing that makes America look as in turbulence, and I know as I've been abroad and I've looked back and people have said, there are 5,000 universities, so you had 350, whatever. I mean, all right, but, you know, to give this a fluff over without any research, without anything, doesn't do me any good and doesn't do him any good or you any good. So you do whatever you want with it. Take a look at it. But, you know, it's between you and me. It's high school stuff, Murphy.
We'll be in touch with you tomorrow, Victor.
Okay. Good.
Good deal. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay.
Yes, I've got a word from the telephone call, but not from my letter.
Mm-hmm.
Moi left Bangkok for Vientiane, and as soon as she got to Bangkok, Vientiane, she went directly to the North Vietnamese embassy.
Now, is this what we assume, or do we
know
this?
No, this is what he says. I'm reading from his letter. I was going to get it off to you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I just got it on Saturday. Here's what he says. Ma left for Vientiane and headed straight to the North Vietnamese embassy. That was as far as our men have trailed her. We have no idea where she is now. She may be in Hanoi or anywhere else. We can only keep our fingers crossed and hope that she keeps her promise If she kept her promise at all, we would know 15 days before delivery, the arrangement we had with her. So in the meantime, let's hope and pray that God will show the way for Moi to carry out her promised task. Let's see here now. Oh, just one day after her arrival, or he says after Moi's safe arrival in Vientiane, the Thailand security people were assisting him on this. They followed her to Vientiane, but they had to return empty-handed. Colonel Kam Sing got a report from his agent in North Vietnam, Vietnam Embassy in Vientiane, that they had sent seven men to Hanoi or somewhere nobody knew for sure following Moi's contact with it. And then on the strength of something else, Kam Sing, I don't think he came down just on this thing, but he had to come to Bangkok, and they talked this thing over, and according to Kam Sing, the prisoners are not detained in Hanoi, but at a place farther north near the Chinese border. The prisoners were subject to hard labor. Now, here's something, hold on to your hat. Kam Sing is the source of the information which CIA did not utilize. He gave them the first tip that the first Tet Offensive, you know, the real disastrous one over there, mm-hmm. he gave them the tip that it was going to happen, and they failed to heed his advice.
Mm-hmm.
So this booger must have some some contact.
Yeah.
And that's about the size of it.
All right, we still don't know her nationality, her age, her passport, or anything like that.
Nothing. Those questions are in the letter that I sent to him. And I got that letter off on Saturday night after I came back from Dallas on Friday.
He should have it by now.
He should have it. I expect an answer sometime this week.
Very good. Anything else you have?
Yes. On this letter that I just read you from, he gave me a little enclosure. Do you have the name of a Mrs. James Lindbergh Hughes of Santa Fe, New Mexico?
Yes.
You do? All right, because he sent me a copy of an advertisement that she put in the Bangkok Post.
Yes, yeah, we're well aware of that.
All right. He sent me that, and as soon as I get anything else, I will get in touch with you, sir.
Very good.
Okay.
We look forward to hearing from
you. Good talking with you.
Nice talking to you. Goodbye.
12 Sweden time.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Martin, he will not be in until tomorrow around 12 Sweden time.
Is he reachable by phone now?
Let me see.
She's having to go through a translator because the secretary doesn't speak English.
That's his wife.
Mr. Battister?
Yes?
United States callers, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Roberto.
Mr. Martin.
How are you, sir?
Well, not bad.
Not bad?
Do you mind waiting a second, please?
No, I do not.
Thank you.
Hello, Roberto?
Yes, Mr. Martin.
It's good to hear from you. How are you?
Oh, well, not bad. Now, Mr. Martin?
Yes?
I am ordered to keep silent by the special... some people here in Sweden.
The people who had talked to you before?
Yes, sir.
When did this order take place?
Exactly when Mr. Palme came back.
Mm-hmm.
And, the only thing they told me, because I have said that I wanted to help you, because of the reasons we talked about before.
Yes.
And that they said that the Swedish government will do it directly.
Would do it directly?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any reason to believe that this is taking place?
Yes, sir.
Is our man back yet?
Yes, sir, he is back.
Should I come there?
I am not supposed to contact anyone of them. However, if you want to come here, I'll call him and you can meet him.
When did he arrive back? Recently?
No, sir. He came back exactly 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. But the day Mr. Palmi returned...
Well, the Swedish intelligence service contacted me. I went back to them, and they have told me exactly what I said.
What happens if I call Mr. von Linn directly?
You can try, but I can tell you, sir, that if you call and you say who you are, I think they will not talk to you.
Mm-hmm. But if I am there in person, they will?
This is my personal idea, yes.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can do one more thing.
What is that?
I can talk to him at the telephone and ask him when he would like to meet you personally here in Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently he wanted to as planned, but because of what has happened to you, that has changed, right?
Yes, sir.
Nothing has changed as far as he is concerned.
That's right, sir.
Have they threatened you with anything if you do talk?
I didn't get my citizenship yet, sir.
I see. Do they still tape record everything on your telephones?
Yes, sir.
Do they understand that we're not trying to do anything that would be counter to the Swedish government? This is not alien to the government? We are not against the Swedish government?
Well, sir, this is something which I cannot tell you because I don't know what they are thinking.
Because we feel very close to Mr. Palmi and to Mr. Laflin and to the other people we have met and talked with there.
Yes, sir, but probably maybe there is something they want to do. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. It would seem to me, though, that we're wasting time unless we do something.
Yes, sir. May I call you on Thursday? Today is Monday.
Right. I'm thinking about being there before Thursday.
I see.
Would that be advisable?
Well, I don't know, because I have to talk with Mr. von Linn.
Mm-hmm. But we do know that he is there.
He is here, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
My only suggestion would be that you come here and you go directly to his apartment.
Now, is his apartment at the delegation?
Yes, sir.
The one out in Stocksund?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Very good, then. I will be in touch with you one way or the other.
Okay, sir.
Anything else? Any further word about the letter?
No, sir.
Do you still believe perhaps they may have it?
I don't know, sir.
I see. You sound like you're a bit afraid.
Yes, sir.
Are you afraid for your life or just for your citizenship?
Let's say both.
You're afraid for both?
Yes, sir.
Roberto, take care. Don't take any unnecessary chances because we're not trying to hide anything from anyone. We're just trying to work for mankind.
I know, sir, but some people, I think, they don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm. I'll be in touch with you.
All right, sir.
Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
Someone must come to Paris.
What? Can you tell me why someone must come to Paris?
Well, because he is looking for a contract, and this is the reason. He's trying to get a written agreement.
Who is trying to get a written agreement?
My associate. And if that's going to be done, why, then it will delay matters to such an extent that I'll have to divert and go to my other channels and work out the deal. But this is a positive deal, and I don't want to spoil it.
Well, now, we have already set forth, I thought, to you what we did. We've got the money in escrow and everything.
Yes, I know that. But the idea is that he is trying to convince Hurt to try to come to Dallas in order to get a contract. Now, this is not proper, so what is best is if someone from there comes here in Paris, we work out the deal immediately.
Well, what good would it be for someone? You have the deal. You know what it is. He knows what it is. The money is in escrow.
Yes, I know that. But there's a little mix-up. You see, he's trying to divert and change the deal. He wants to get a written contract.
How is he trying to change the deal, Mr. Carr?
He's not trying to change it as it is now, but he's trying to change it by trying to get a contract.
Well, is this...
a written contract.
Well, he did not... This is not what he wanted originally, is it?
No, this is not what he wanted originally, but now he changed it.
Why did he change it, do you know?
Well, he feels that there may be certain embarrassment. We're trying to create... I originally started it by saying we wanted to create a corporation in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And as a front organization, see?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where he changed it now, and he went back. He went back to the original thought because it would harm matters to do it in the manner which we outlined now.
Well, when did you last speak with him?
Today. What time is it in Dallas now?
It is now 11 o'clock in Dallas. It must be 5 a.m. there?
Yes. In the morning?
Yes.
I mean at night?
Yes.
At night, 5 o'clock at night.
No, it's 5 o'clock.
At night.
It's
7 o'clock at night.
What?
Well, what can we do now? All right, then here's what. I'll wait for your phone call after you speak with Mr. Hurt. After Mr. Hurt speaks with you.
Right. He's calling today, right?
Yes.
And
I anticipated calling you in order to verify, to try to convince Mr. Hurt that you will, that they will, it's not necessary for him to come to Dallas, that it's necessary for your part to come here.
Well,
all right?
Well, we will wait on our decision to come there until we talk with Mr. Hurt.
Right. Okay?
Fine. Now, we're going to hear from you again?
No, I'll wait for your phone call.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.